banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
And this is Comic Culture coming to you at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. As always, we champion the local comic book shop. And we are... I think I did it the sequence
you,
totally wrong.
Completely different. Now, you screwed it up. You know what? You are Walter Duralia.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chris. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
Yes. And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
You got it down.
Hey,
you know
what? Easy there, Tiger. Mm-hmm. To my right, we have – normally it's to my left, but to my right, we have Shecky Feldstein.
Switching it up again.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to switch it every once in a while.
Hey, guys.
He has no mic tonight, so he might hear him coughing or crying in the background. However, tonight we do have a couple of special guests in from the Big Smoke from Toronto here to promote their new anthology called Toronto Comics. We have Nelson and Andrew.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Here on this beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
You know what? We finally paid people enough money to actually be on the show.
Well, I promised to pay him. I haven't actually...
Chris, don't worry. Don't tell me that.
Hey, guys, now, what we always do first is, first of all, you're here to help us entertain, but you're also here to help us champion the local comic book shop.
Absolutely.
We're
going
to talk about local comic book shops throughout the show and why they're so cool and awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What we'll do first is Chris will go over just a couple of tidbits, a couple of samples, morsels of the plethora, tidal wave of new comics that are available on the new This Week stands at your local comic book shop. And Chris will go over just a couple of them.
A smattering.
Mm. If you guys have any comments on any of them, just chime in when you want.
Absolutely, we'll do.
So we're going to start off with, this is one of my long-time running favorite comics. This is Hellboy and the BPRD from 1952.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting... like massive Shecky Feldstein waves. Back that up.
Back it up. Yeah, got it.
Apparently, Shecky has a sponsor. He's giving me sine wave languages, which I don't want to repeat.
No.
We have a sponsor for you this week.
All right. What's that?
Yeah, it was mostly just one finger, though, Walt. But anyway, new this week, brought to you by Old Ma Mabel. Owner of newly found Action Comics number 1, 9.8 grade, just found in Nantucket. The first... to ever appear, and $50 price tag on that book, first come, first served, I believe. Yeah, so if you were to... Oh, hey, happy April 1st, everyone, by the way.
you got me.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Nantucket. I know a poem about Nantucket.
Yeah, let's save for another day, Walt.
Fair enough. All right, Owen, over to you.
Can I talk now?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
After you. So we got Hellboy and the BPRD number 1952.
Is that a band?
It should be. It'd be great. Yeah.
Hellboy and the BPRD.
Promise me you'll never say that again.
Okay.
And that's number 5. Mike Mignola, John Arcudi, Alex Maleev, and Dave Stewart. Alex Maleev, awesome artist.
I love Alex.
Oh, he's amazing.
He did fantastic work with Bendis on Daredevil.
Yeah, that actually is what got me into comics.
Yeah.
Like Bendis and Maleev, if you guys can hear me, is just like it's fantastic comics. It is. I grew up thinking comics were just like garbage for dumb people, and until college, I was actually introduced to comics in their raw form. I was like, okay, this is actually kind of interesting.
This is pretty good stuff.
And then I was ruined forever.
Garbage for dumb people.
Hey, listen, Hellboy number 5 available at your local comic book shop. Oh, and the BPRD 1952. At your local comic book shop today.
All right, next one up, we got. You know what? Let's continue. Let's go with Image here.
Let's go.
Hey.
Let's go.
The Dying and the Dead by Jonathan Hickman and Ryan Bodenheim.
Yeah.
Bodenheim. Wasn't that...
Well, there's a museum. There's a nice art museum.
I know. I love going to the Bodenheim when I get a chance.
Yeah, but yeah. You do.
I do. I don't know what that means. You know what? You know what? This book, it reminds me of sort of a Pulp Fiction-y kind of... what's
noir.
That? What's that movie? Dead Men Tell No Tales or something like that. What's the No Country for Old Men? Right. That's what it reminds me of. No Country for Old Men.
Mm.
It's got a kind of a neat look to it, and you know what? This is one of those books that could eventually be a movie. It's got that feel.
Mm. Nice. Okay, Dying and the Dead, number 2 by Hickman and Bodenheim.
Bodenheim.
At your local comic book
shop. Is that Image Comics?
That's Image Comics.
Yeah.
How many series does Hickman have with
his? 73.
Yeah.
He's got a ton.
73.
Yeah.
He doesn't sleep. next one up we got going here is Harley Quinn number 16.
Harley Quinn.
Now you know that I'm a big fan of Harley Quinn and Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Amanda Connor,
you know what? This is a great book. She's got a whole bunch of she's got dynamite close to her bosoms.
Dynamite. Yeah, Harley Quinn number 16. And correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Okay. DC is still doing that two covers per major series thing every week. And because there was another Harley Quinn last night when I was putting out the new comics.
Yes.
They're having like this month.
This month is old movie poster.
Movie
posters, right? That's right. Ooh. Yeah.
So
you know what? The one I really liked of that one was they did a Catwoman Bullet.
I saw that one. Queen. Yeah, the week before.
That's from the week before. Yeah,
like Catwoman's Bullets.
I love Catwoman's Bullets.
Harley Quinn 16 at your local comic book shop today.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna switch over to Marvel for a quick second here. We've got The Punisher number 17. We got to get through these, so I'm just gonna go quickly.
Yeah, go quickly.
Punisher number 17. Captain America does a nice little cameo in this one.
Nice. You got the shield on the cover.
Yep.
You got Falcon on
the
back.
That's the new Captain America.
Oh, that's Captain America. I'm sorry. Where have I been for the last five months?
It's okay.
So that's Punisher number what? Number 17 at your local comic book shop. It's weird that Marvel will get up to number 17.
I know, eh? Yeah, it's surprising. Next one, speaking of getting up to 17, this is Ultron Forever Avengers number 1. And... it looks like, speaking of Captain America, there is a Captain America wannabe in this one. I don't really, I gotta show everybody this one. I don't know who this is. It's an odd looking Captain America. I don't know.
I like her. There's a 1990s Lifefield mullet look.
There really is.
I really like. All right,
that's a good looking book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ultron Forever Avengers number 1 at your local comic book shop today.
All right, then we got Spider-Gwen, number 3, by Jason Latour and Robbie Rodriguez. I can never say that last name. I hate saying that
Just
name.
Just say Chai-Chai.
Chai-Chai. Yeah. Chai-Chai Rodriguez. this is Spider-Gwen. Did you guys read any Marvel titles? Did you guys read Spider-Gwen?
I've read the first one.
And I
didn't have high expectations, to be honest, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's good, because that's probably what we got for this one.
Oh, Chris.
Ooh. All right, look.
Negative zone Owen. Spider-Gwen number 3 at your local comic shop today.
Negative zone. Hey, that was like, you actually know something about comics there for a second.
Is that a comic?
Yeah, well, it's something to do
with
comics.
I love the aesthetic for it. It looks gorgeous.
Marvel, yeah. Negative like, zone, yeah.
All right.
I didn't mean to pick it up, but...
all right, let's... next one we got going here is... what do we got? Batman Superman Annual number 2. Of course, this is the return of all of our favorite characters. We got there's Doomsday's in it, and Joker, and you know, basically everybody who's anybody's in this book.
Doomsday and Joker. How can you not want this book?
Yeah.
Yeah, and annuals, we talked about this before on the show. Our annuals, they're not what they used to be.
I got to ask you about that. Are annuals worthwhile? Like, should people buy them at all, even for, I mean, other than for reading enjoyment? Like, are they worth collecting?
What was the point of annuals to begin with?
Well, in the old days, I think annuals collected some of the best stories of the year, right? And initially. And then Marvel started adding, you know, original content to some of theirs in the mid '60s, and so and some important things happened. Like I think Sue and Reed Richards got married in an annual.
Yep.
Hmm.
So, but then they went back to reprints, and then so it's like it's an inconsistent history to annuals. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what to make of them, right? I don't think they know what to make of them and how to use them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time period in the '90s when. They used to have all the annuals have a crossover.
Yeah, Atlantis Attacks.
Attacks or like Itsy Bitsy Spidey Stories. Yeah. So there was a time period where they actually did crossover, but I think for the most part, nobody really cares. Last one I got to talk about.
Last one. I hold in my hand. The last comic.
A Zero comic. It's a nothing comic. It's a zero. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's Convergence Zero.
Whoa. Now, that's a big comic.
Sort of. This is the beginning of the end. This is the end.
This is the end.
My only friend. The end. So this is Convergence Number Zero. This is by Dan Jurgens.
He makes that lotion.
He has soft hands.
Hey, soft hand Jurgens.
And also written by Jeff King. It's got a couple of different. It's got Ethan Van Sciver doing the art and Marcello Maiolo
Mastrioni.
This is the beginning of the whole DC Convergence, where they're going to basically be destroying the DC universe.
Now, you know what? The funny thing about Convergence is, I swear, guys, this is. So I knew nothing about Convergence. And then I realized it was going to be a big deal.
Hmm.
And owning a comic shop, I figured I spent about, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes reading about Convergence. I know less now than I did then. It is like a convoluted, I don't know. Do you guys know anything about Convergence, what they're doing?
No, like both DC and Marvel are destroying the universes right now, right? They're both wiping everything clean.
Yeah.
It's
So I don't know. I don't get it.
Is it related to Morrison's miniseries right now, the
Multiversity?
Multiversity.
Well,
yeah.
So basically, yes and no. They're basically.
Great answer, by the way.
Well, hold on a second. So,
sorry.
Don't get your backup.
Beep, beep.
So, basically, what's happened is DC is realizing that the New 52 wasn't a terrible idea, but it wasn't the greatest of ideas because everybody's wondering what the hell happened to all their previous storylines before the New 52.
Yeah. It was a weird, like, half commitment and then half, like, they commit to a complete change on one side, and then the rest are still maybe in continuity.
Yeah, so now they're realizing that. So, you know, continuity was such a big thing for a long time, and now they're kind of realizing that, you know what, maybe let's just get rid of continuity.
Mm.
So they're going to get rid of everything, and basically after the Convergence thing, there could be some stories that have continuity and some stories that don't have continuity.
Okay. Will there, like, be a big C in the corner for...
Yeah, basically. I don't know.
Listen, Chris, that's just what? You did about two, three? How many did you do?
35. Yeah.
Of the literally 2,700 that are coming out today at your local comic book shop. And so go into your local comic book shop, peruse the new this week, and pick what you like. And maybe even pick something you don't like.
Sure.
Now, every week I add on to your new this week with my – because I am an Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
I've heard that.
Very respected in the industry. People listen to my picks, and then they go spend thousands of dollars and invest their retirement money on what I say.
Sure. Kids' college fund.
Yeah. So I pick every week now, since a few weeks ago, I'm picking a new this week to invest in. So head into your local comic book shop. Drop the whole paycheck on this one, okay? These I don't even know how to say it. Descender.
Mm.
Number one from Image Comics by Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen. Bufflin. And now I've met Dustin before at the shows.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a nice guy.
He's got very bright, colorful art.
Yeah.
Like watercolor type stuff. Yeah. I like his artwork.
Me too.
It's very dramatic and dynamic artwork.
Me too.
I'm looking in the book and I like the artwork here too. So combined with Jeff Lemire, a homeboy from Southern Ontario.
Gotta like him.
I'm gonna say this about Jeff Lemire. I like his art because it's different.
Yes.
but I think he's a great writer.
I think he's, you know, I love his writing. I think he's all, I don't want to say he's a better writer than he is artist, but I think he's
awesome. He's kind of out in left field type of guy.
Yeah.
And I like his concepts. And Image Number Ones, as we talked about before, are speculated books. Hmm. And if Jeff's coming up with some sort of cool little concept, the chance, like, you know, it's a crapshoot with these things anyway.
Yeah.
But if Lemire is quarterbacking the thing, it's like, you know, hitch a ride and grab two or three
of
these.
Why not,
and,
right?
You know, yeah. You know, throw them up on eBay a month from now and try to make 50 cents or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No,
Descender, number one, my pick of the week for investments.
All right. Have convinced me.
There you go.
Done and done.
Okay. Listen, let's
open the till.
Let's have a quick musical interlude. Shecky, you got something lined up for us? He's nodding his head. We're going to have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back, and we've got a mailbag to talk to, and then we're going to get into industry news, and then talk to these guys about the new anthology.
Talk to the boys. We'll talk to the boys.
All right, let's hear it going on. That is smooth.
That is
that's
smooth.
That's like 20-year-old Scotch
that
smooth.
That is like 20-year-old what?
20-year-old Scotch.
Scotch, yes,
smooth.
It is indeed.
20-year-old Scotch
oh,
smooth.
Oh, that,
yes.
That was almost unfortunate.
Yes.
All right.
Listen, I'm confused.
Okay, we're going to go into mailbag.
Right, thank
mailbag,
you.
Mailbag, mailbag.
I'm so glad you're here, Chris.
Well, you know, I'm here for a reason. Not really too sure what that reason is. Now, listen, good friend of ours down from Fort Erie.
Hold on. Back it up a bit.
Beep, beep, beep.
We have to ask Shecky Feldstein if there's a sponsor.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Shecky, like, he doesn't have a mic today because
of
our special guest.
I know. I'm sorry. Oh.
He's killing himself over here. He's veins popping in his neck.
He's working hard. He looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Usually I'd have the whip. I'd crack the whip at Chris and he would know. But apparently he thinks I can't speak. So
I'm sorry.
He thinks he can... Yeah, Chris, don't worry. We'll remember this for next time.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Hey, how about this? Mailbag and the segue into industry news, part one, brought to you by Magnus Robot Fighter, the film. Meet the Norwegian metalhead as he systematically bashes skulls of all the baddies on his radar.
Is that, that's got to be another April Fool's.
It's April 1st, though, just so that you know. I'm
just
not going to say one
all
thing
right.
one way or another.
I think it's
called getting somebody's hopes up.
I know. I don't see, I feel bad. So our good friend Kafe from from Fort Erie.
Is he from Whitby?
Fort Erie.
Fort Erie. I knew that.
Fort Erie.
Fort Erie.
He wrote us, it was about four pages.
Did he write a poem?
He wrote, well, no, he was supposed to. He was supposed to write us a poem for Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
got
was.
A little lost, but that's all right. First of all, he went to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he actually ran into somebody that you and I know down in Florida. Yeah. Do you remember Neil from Emerald City Comics?
Never heard of him. See, that's
don't
the line
you
know, say.
Well, yeah. Don't yeah. money.
Nice. Okay.
So Neil is a guy I've known for a number of years now. He owns a couple comic book stores called Emerald City down in the Clearwater area, and he actually came up here once and he talked to Walt for a bit. So Keith, to answer your first question, yes, we actually do know Neil, who's the owner of Emerald City. However, Keith asks another question here. He's okay. He's hold on a second. Let me, They're talking about the guide. He's talking about the advisors. He wants to know how advisors works, because it says here Walter always states that during the opening credits that he is an advisor of the comic book Overstreet.
I certainly am, Keith.
So his question is, how does this work? After looking at one of the myriad of comic books, how do you set a price based on character, quality, availability, popularity, and all the other factors involved? I had a pretty good look at the guide when it was in front of me. I'm pretty good at analyzing things because of my job in law enforcement. Ooh, make sure we don't tick this guy off.
Warning noted.
It seemed to make sense, but I'd appreciate you explaining this. Besides, you've always stated your title in the credits, but all this time I listened to the show, I don't recall you ever explaining what your title was.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about Keith here. You know, I like Keith as much as you do, maybe. But he's calling me out right now.
He really is.
He's calling me out. He's saying, hey, bring it, Walt. What you all about? You know, you're spouting that you're this and you're spouting that you're that.
You know what? He's
– I don't know if I don't know if I can let this go.
He's calling us out here.
Yeah.
Because he goes on to say, I'm really looking forward to an interesting and informative reply. And who knows? This might result in a comic culture special, quote unquote, what exactly is the Overstreet price guide? He is calling you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's like,
well, luckily,
3 o'clock high.
Luckily, I'm well versed.
Luckily.
So the Overstreet, of course, is the standard in pricing comic books, right? It's the 45th annual one is coming out this year. It's the linchpin to the hobby. And you know how you guys, I mean, you're Andrew, you're in computers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know how you build on what people have built before you?
Yep.
You build on what people have built before you. And, you know, so there's a standard and you keep going, and there's a standard and you keep going. So I don't know what year it was, 1971 or whatever, when the first price guide came. It was a bit more rudimentary. But over the years, just certain amounts of trends and reports and just general happenings in the comic book market have been reported, and that's how basically prices were set and then tweaked every year. Now, to the comic book price guide's defense, everybody's going to say, everybody at the shows goes, oh, well, you know, price guide's outdated. You know, everybody goes online, it's instantaneous. Yes, yes, I understand that. When you get a comic book graded and it's a 9.6 or whatever, and the last three results average, that's more indicative maybe of the guide. But the guide wasn't designed necessarily to be that instantaneous guide of the moment in an internet age.
Right.
It is designed to be a reference point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And as long as the reference points are accurate, then that's the guide is serving its purpose. Because even today, when a comic sells online at an auction, it's reference to the guide.
Right.
Oh, that book sold for half guide. Oh, that book is hot. It sold for double guide.
Right. Right. Right.
The guide is still referenced. And we have to remember that by volume, I'm going to say by volume, 98% of comics are traded, not graded.
How? What do you mean by that?
Raw.
What
like
do you mean?
They're not CGC'd or GX'd or ABC'd or whatever the heck.
CGC.
Right, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few of them.
Okay.
So
ABC'd.
Yeah. And so you, as a person heading into a Comic Con or a comic book store or shopping online, are well served by the guide.
Right.
Because
right.
the guide is a great reference.
Now,
okay?
Correct.
You shouldn't take the guide's pricing as of the moment graded pricing.
Okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you like to do that.
Uh-huh.
So let's say I am some brand new collector here, and I'm not buying Spidey 1, I'm not buying, you know, Iron Man 55. I'm not buying anything that's really of any major value.
Right.
The guide still is a great guide.
Absolutely.
For the non high end stuff, because it seems like the stuff that's really high end trades online and prices kind of fluctuate almost like a stock market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
but, well, how frequent does the guide come out?
Once a year.
So it is a yearly.
Yeah. It's a yearly thing. And it's basically a gauge of that year. And there's so many things in the guide. And Keith, one of the great features of the guide where I participate in as an advisor is the market reports, where a whole bunch of us advisors, we write up a market report on what we've seen, what trends we've seen, what we're expecting, you know, what results we've seen over the past year and what we foresee in the coming future. And I guarantee you, anybody that picks up a price guide and reads from A to Z all the market reports will come away vastly, vastly more informed about what's going on in the market than if they didn't, if they ignored it. So there's a lot of advisors that have a lot of experience in the industry chiming in on their thoughts and on their observations. And it's something, as a serious comic collector, that you ignore at your own peril.
Right.
Right. So hope that answers your question, Keith.
I think that answers Keith's question.
All right.
All right. Listen, we got to move on. It was awfully long-winded speech there.
Well, you gave me the soapbox.
Jeez, I know. I regret it.
You called a man out. I mean, he's got to stand up for himself.
All right. Yeah. You know, let's
defend my turf there.
Yeah. You know what?
Keith's stepping up on me like that all.
Let's move on to industry news. Industry news. Would you have a sponsor for industry news there, Shekster?
I think he
What? Yeah.
Don't be looking at me like that, all right? Let me ask Shecky now. Do we have a sponsor for Industry News?
Oh, that's great.
It was Magnus Robot Fighter.
Magnus Robot
Fighter. That was for Mailbag.
And the segue into Industry News.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're embarrassing ourselves in front of our guests.
Well, you're embarrassing someone here. Uh-huh. All right, listen. Are we talking about industry news? When are we going to talk to these guys?
Want to talk to them now?
Let's talk to them now.
All right.
Let's throw caution to the wind.
You know what? Forget about industry news for a moment.
No, this is industry news.
Well, that is true. Yes. But it's a type of industry news.
Yes, it is.
So listen, Nelson and Andrew, they are...
Hold on, Chris. Nelson and Andrew, you guys mind giving your full names? I don't know your full name.
No, sure. Nelson DeRosha.
I'm Andrew Stevenson.
And you guys are responsible for...
Toronto Comics Anthology.
Yeah,
right.
I was going to say that.
Go ahead. Oi!
Oi! Yeah. Oi! All right. Are you done? Are you done? Are you done yet? You know what?
Chris has trouble with authority.
Listen. Now, you guys have done Toronto Comics. Now, your first outing, as it were, you have this anthology of stories written primarily by people in the Toronto area, correct?
Yes. We're all local Toronto writers and artists. We all wanted to tell, like many of us came out of Ty Templeton's writing courses at Comic Book Boot Camp. Comic Book Embassy and Comic Boot Camp, the same place.
What's a CM?
I'm sorry?
Embassy, not CM.
I'm sorry, Embassy, yes.
Turn up your hearing aid, why don't you?
It's like they're ambassadors for comics.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll be over here, guys, if you need me.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, listen. Okay, so you guys did Toronto Comics Anthology #1. I take it that came out last year.
Yes.
And now you guys have published #2.
Yes.
So #1, let me ask you guys a question. Mm-hmm. How was that received? Were you guys happy?
Very well. We sold out every copy we had. We just done reprints. Mm-hmm.
Was that, you know, like a million copies you guys
sold? Oh, absolutely. A million and a half. Nice. We're just rolling in cash over here. Good. No, it was like 150, 200.
Okay.
And the reprints were for another 200.
Good.
But we're in comic book stores across Toronto. Like, we went across, like, I got a gigantic briefcase and I went around.
Are you guys in the snail?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Silver Snail, Beguiling, Tarantula.
Now, with the million copies that you sold, do you have to walk around with a briefcase full of money now?
Absolutely.
Nice. The ones that's handcuffed to your...
Oh, wrist. For sure. You better believe it.
Nice.
Okay. So I'm liking what I'm hearing so far. Yeah. They did Volume 1. And
well, Volume 1 was actually mostly... Our plan was just to make a portfolio piece so we could, you know, showcase our talents and everything.
Okay.
And it came out way better than we expected.
And the reception was much stronger than we expected.
The reception was fantastic.
Explain to me the book. Explain to me what's in it in terms of, like, not in terms of each story, but what, like, how many stories are in it? Is it all one story?
Absolutely. For the first anthology, it's much smaller than the second one. It's only 90 pages. But that is, I'll come a little closer. That is 11 stories, 8 writers, 11 artists. And each of these stories is a short piece, like all set in and about Toronto in some way.
Right. Are they connected at all, the stories?
No.
They don't have to be, right?
Yeah. We kind of wanted to make it so that every writer could have their own vision of Toronto.
Right.
And kind of display Toronto in a different way. Mm-hmm. And again, like, all the artists have very different styles. And that was something we wanted to encourage. Yeah. We wanted to make sure this was a book you picked up and you got, like, a taste of the talent available in Toronto, like the wide breadth of quality available.
Yeah. It's funny that what you said earlier about the talent coming out of Southern Ontario, one thing that we noticed was that there's a lot of phenomenal talent coming
unbelievable.
Out of Southern Ontario, like let alone Canada, right? And there's really no place for them to showcase their work, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, I mean, there's a few publications here and there, but you know, like I'm no longer surprised about hearing guys in Marvel and DC who are Canadian. Like I didn't know.
Well, look
about
at the Raid Studios. The
exactly,
there,
just about to mention them. Yeah,
these guys are killing it, right?
But even guys like Darwin Cook, it's like, oh, Darwin Cook's Canadian. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Francis Manipal, he's
unbelievable.
And you know, it's like, well, we should really have something for ourselves to showcase these people, because these people are going to be. Like, you're going to hear about them. We've worked with people. Like, I've read some of these stories, and it's like, that's really good. Like, you should be working professionally. And
that's what most of their aspirations are, right?
Exactly. Like, but they don't have any – I mean, aside from posting their stuff online, which is great, but
– like, they don't have a proper venue in which to showcase their talent.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, to be fair, we do have some talented – like, some experienced creators in here. We do have some people who have, like, some indie credit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want to make this a platform for new creators.
Yeah.
For the next generation of Toronto comics of Toronto's artists.
Yeah.
And that's something we'd like to do ongoing. Like, this is like the second book has been received so well.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead, Walt.
All right. Well, what I want to get back to, and I want you guys to repeat, because, like, again, Chris and I, this show, if it does anything, it champions the local comic book shop. Mm-hmm. We want a healthy local comic book shops in all communities across Canada and across the world, really. Mm-hmm. Now, remind us again the great comic book shops in Toronto that helped you guys out with this.
Silver Snail, Harry Tarantula, Red Tails.
Red Nails.
Red Nails, I'm sorry.
Up in North York, right?
Red Nails up in North York, and they have a store at Jane and Bloor.
The Beguiling. We're in – it's like the TCAF store, the one in Toronto Reference Library. I think it's like pen and paper.
You know
now.
What? You got to love – I mean, I love Paradise. All the stores of Snail and everything. Yep. Paradise, Pete's awesome, and the Beguiling is such a supporter of the indie guys.
Oh, they've been really good.
Toronto and stuff. Those are great Toronto
great
shops.
Stores.
Mm-hmm. And anybody listening in the Toronto area, man, just support
check
your local
out.
Comic
and,
shop.
Yeah, really. Their support of us. Like, I mean, us walking in there and it's like, wow, this is fantastic.
Right.
And like, also, like the first time I walked in there, it's like, oh, you know, these guys are probably going to tell me to, you know, get out
but
of here, kid.
A huge
what do you know? Yeah,
the puzzle guys.
But exactly.
Guys,
and they were supportive.
You guys wouldn't be anywhere without progressive local comic book shops.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like what you're doing.
They've been so encouraging that it's like,
okay, you're not going through Diamond, whatever, but you're Toronto guys. You're doing something about the city. We're a city shop, and we're going to support you on this and carry your book. I think that's fantastic.
Yes, I also want to shout out to 1 Million Comics.
1 Million Comics.
Yeah,
Comics and the Spacing Store. The Spacing Store, like, they're a store that's like, they sell primarily like Toronto related stuff.
Awesome.
So, like, TDC guides, like, a lot of like local art.
Yeah.
And, like, they reached out to us. They were really interested in getting the book, and
that's
they're like,
cool.
And it's been really supportive.
And now, if somebody wanted to. So Toronto Comics Volume 2 isn't actually out yet.
Yes, it's launching in May at TCAF.
It's launching at TCAF.
Are you guys going to be set up at TCAF?
We have a table there, yes.
Okay, can you first of all, can you get me in to TCAF?
Nice. Well, I believe admission is free.
That was,
that was like
a wiser moment there, Shecky. That's a wiser moment.
Okay, no, seriously.
I don't think Shecky's listening.
No, I think he's passed out somewhere.
Yeah.
Listen, so Toronto Comics Volume 2 now, well, did you say is it available through Diamond?
No, not yet.
No,
not yet.
Something like potentially we're looking into down the line, book 3,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, so
but the way to get it right now.
Diamond. Now, if somebody wanted to buy it, they have to basically go to one of the local shops that has basically helped you out. Is that the idea? So
yeah.
So where would they find it? At those stores you mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
You can also buy it online right now. We've just launched a Kickstarter to help fund the cost for that book.
Okay.
And it's been phenomenally successful. Like, I've been staggered by how much.
Phenomenally successful.
Yes.
Local support's been.
We're about 900% funded right now.
Can you name us some of the contributors, some of the great artists and writers that are part of the book? Are you allowed to do that?
Absolutely. We've got Bryce Hall, who's the editorial illustrator for the National Post.
Right.
And, like, he's phenomenal.
Right.
We've got Christopher Yao from.
I like Christopher Yao.
Yep.
Yeah, as well as Sam Noir.
Sam Noir. And
Captain Canuck.
Captain Canuck figures right up there.
No, he does phenomenal.
So you know what, Walt? I don't know if you had a chance to look, really get a good look at this.
I'm awfully busy.
I know. You're a busy man. I really liked – so there's a couple stories in here I really liked. There's one story that I'm sure that you're going to like, Walt, here, is Major for Major North.
Wasn't he in the movie industry back in the 90s?
Major North. It's like a Captain Canuck kind of homage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That Major North.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, not Peter North. No.
Mm-hmm.
Major North.
Wow.
I really like.
They are related, though, aren't they?
Not
Please
even
tell
related.
Me they're related.
Well, maybe it's Peter North's alternate ego. You never know. But yeah, it's a great looking book, you know. And some of the things
great
that
looking book.
What? I think it is.
Okay, they're grapes.
Well, you take a look at it. But
it's a great-looking book. That's all I got to say about it.
Mm-hmm. It's got an Adam Gorham cover. He did the cover for it, and with Paris Elaine did the colors.
Yeah.
And it jumps out at you from the shelf. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So, guys, you guys are from the School of Thai.
Yes.
And what's he think of all this?
He is very enthusiastic and very supportive.
Yeah, incredible. Supportive.
I was in his laying out the page class recently, just this past year, and he was suggesting to people that they come to us for book three, that he wants to get a lot of his students into this book as an ongoing thing, and we want them to.
Yeah, him and Karen have been very kind sharing their
nice.
Email list with us, you know,
nice.
Putting out a call saying, hey, these guys are looking for writers and artists.
Yep.
Check them out. And
so if you are looking to to get your way into comics, like, give us a shout.
Now, hold on. So you don't have to have gone to
no, it's not mandatory that you have like a certificate from.
Yeah. So basically, anybody that's looking to break into comics and they want to get their artwork shown.
Yeah.
So how does that work? They're just going to send you an email kind of thing.
Yeah. Go to our website, tocomics.com, spelled with an X.
Comix.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Tomix.
Yeah.
We got to update that website, though.
I do. I need to tweak it a little bit.
Well, you done reading the book there? Are you going to pay attention to this?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. It's okay. You know, you just keep doing what you're
doing. The book has enraptured him. It's just that good.
Yeah. Dude, what did you say was a good book there? Yeah.
Oh, it's a good book there, kid. I really like the book. I know the dad of the guy that wrote it. He's a good guy. We had a couple of brown pops together back last summer.
Oh. But no, book one is primarily Thai artists and writers. Book two, it's more of a mix.
Nice.
We have a lot of like local people from the scene who heard of us from the first book, approached us, and they were talented and great and wanted to work with them.
Yeah. Nice.
Talented
it's
lovely.
All about local. That's what we want. We want guys.
Talented and local.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Right. Now, okay, so you guys are at TCAF.
Yes.
Okay, and you're expecting good things. I'm sure you're going to get good things. Are you guys going to be at Fan Expo?
Yes.
Awesome.
They just opened their applications, I think, on Monday.
Right.
So we have an application in the mail. We'll see if it goes through.
Nice.
Okay.
We were at Comic-Con, and we had a fantastic response.
Oh, yeah, we did.
People. Yeah.
A fantastic. Couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
a little, like, three-day con.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
We were at that show, too.
Oh, cool.
Chris and I did a live podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They confiscated the...
We never got through.
We never got
out. Oh, no.
Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so this is... Now, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot thicker...
Yes, it's
bigger.
208 pages, 6x9.
Yeah. It's the Peter North of comic books.
It's thicker and bigger than the first one. So is that telling me that... more people are contributing. You guys are working harder. This project is gaining momentum. What's going on with you making a better number two than but I'm talking.
It is better. I love book one. I'm deeply proud of book one. But at the same time,
a more meaty number two than a number one.
We took everything that we learned from the first book and we kind of put more organization, more planning, and then because we had the example that first portfolio piece, people saw the quality involved, and we got more contributors, and we just had a better working experience with everyone.
Yeah, it was. I don't think anyone had anything bad to say about working on the first one. They told people that they knew.
Yeah,
and you know, we were looking for people.
Nice.
And you know, they came to us basically.
So number
if you
one
build
was
it,
kind of
come.
The call to action.
Yes,
that's exactly.
And number two was the response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
number three will be the triumph.
You're going to have a good TCAF. I know that. And then now, is your ambitions with number two to launch a number three?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. What number three will look like is a different story.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Well, we kind of have two different directions we can take the things right now. Like, book one, 90 pages. Book two, 208 pages. Is book three going to be like a phone book?
Right.
Because we have a lot of talent available to us, and that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, we're also thinking about potentially switching up into shorter books released multiple times throughout the year.
Okay, yeah.
So we'd have a themed anthology for Toronto romance or Toronto horror.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
I like that.
And we talked about that with some people, and you know, that seems to get over well, like a Toronto horror genre.
Yeah,
seems to be really popular. And
you know, there's a lot of parts of Toronto. Pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's... I agree.
Yeah, Chris has woken up in a few of those.
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, that's one. Listen, this is a great project, and I think the way I see it is, I think you guys are gaining momentum, which is wonderful, and you're going to basically be taking phone calls and saying, "Hey, man, I can't get you into the next issue. I'm sorry. You know, that's a problem you guys want to get to.
It's a
right?
nice problem.
Absolutely,
yes.
yeah,
it's a nice problem to have. But I mean, it's a great project. Like, it's a great idea. And
people want to hear Southern Ontario. People want to hear Toronto. You know,
now are you guys planning a Hamilton one?
Comics, ironically.
Well, we were intentionally talking about doing more of like an Ontario book, and then kind of like breaking it down into individual.
Steel City
Comics.
Stop. All right.
We want a Hamilton.
All right. Yeah. Right. I'll tell you what. I'll license the idea to you.
It'll be the back of the book. How about
licensing?
Yeah.
I'm out.
All right, we'll talk. There's a lot. The show.
We do actually have a few Hamilton folks working in the book. Zan Gray. He did a couple stories in here. He is a full time animator in Hamilton.
Right.
And his work is just fantastic.
What's his name? Sorry.
Zan Gray.
Zan Gray. Okay.
That's his internet name. He has a real name, but
Sangria.
Sangria. I like that.
Honestly, I was surprised that we got him because I thought he was working professionally in comics already.
Well, did he do anything for the other book?
Yes, he did the flagship story for the second anthology called Home.
The opening story?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's full of action. Yeah, the direction shots are great.
Really great, really great story. And you know what? The only story that I actually read a lot of the stories before you guys came here.
Awesome.
And there's one, I think it's called Remembering or Reminiscence or something like that.
Oh, Reflections?
Reflections, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Weird story, man. Like,
yeah.
It takes place with ice fishing and then aliens and stuff.
That's Jesse McGibney who did that. Jesse McGibney and Ariane Lawrence.
Ariane Lawrence.
But it's fantastic.
Ice fishing.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Here, it's right at the back here. Let me flip that for you. But it's short. It's almost entirely visual. There's like five lines of dialogue in it, and it just catches you.
Right on.
Yeah, you can read it in like 2 seconds.
Watch my glasses.
Or not.
Aaron's a fantastic artist.
Yes, actually, that's Jesse McGibney who did that one.
Oh, I love
this.
She
wrote it.
Good. Oh, I like the line. I like the scene where the guy asks if he could make his buddy's ice hole bigger.
if you're into the gaming industry at all, Jesse McGibney is the lead artist for Apotheon, which is an indie game that just came out recently, which is done entirely in the style of Greek pottery. So you are literally like a silhouetted character like running across a bronze screen, and it's a gorgeous, absolutely unique look.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah, you know, uniqueness like that works. You know, you guys remember like 1602 the covers?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, look, we need to have a musical interlude here. Mm-hmm. Shecky, do you got anything up for us? Yes, he's nodding. I forgot he doesn't have a microphone. He's nodding. Yes.
Hey, Shecky.
All right. Let's. Here's some music, thanks.
That was fantastic. Was that what was that?
That was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I thought I recognized it.
Yeah.
My favorite team.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Yes. All right, let's continue on with.
Hold on. You can't do that anymore.
What?
Because Mr. Felstein over here is throwing a conniption.
I was going to say, let's continue on with the industry news. Do we have a sponsor? You just bite my head off here. Holy cow. Sorry.
All right, Shecky, do we have a sponsor for Industry News Party?
That's good. Yeah, good work.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it quick because Chris has the daggers out. Staring daggers. Industry News Part 2 brought to you by Stan Lee Media, who is now claiming ownership over Spider-Man, The Hulk, Scooby-Doo, Mickey Mouse, Dora the Explorer, and Knight Rider.
Nice, nice.
I still love Knight Rider.
There was a crossover between those things. Yeah, I would watch that.
Okay, Buck. Fantastic.
What? Oh, it's such a knob. That was Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers, not Knight Rider.
Did they claim in Buck Rogers too there, Shaky?
I think they are, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
All right, where are we?
You're killing me here. All right, you know what? I want to go, because you mentioned Stanley Media, I want to go straight to Stanley Media.
Go, you go, boy.
All right.
You go.
Let's go to Stanley Media. All right. So, guys, I don't know if you're aware, but so years ago, Stanley was one of the co-founders for a company called Stanley Media. Then, basically, he sold his shares and is no longer affiliated with Stanley Media. So, Stan Lee is not affiliated with Stan Lee Media.
Hey, is Stan Lee still affiliated with Stan Lee Media?
No.
Okay.
So Stan Lee, though, is started to get sued by Stan Lee Media because Stan Lee Media said that they basically now have the rights to all the stuff that Stan Lee created. So now there's been a final appeal has been rejected. The Supreme Court has refused to hear the appeal of Stan Lee Media, which basically has said that they own all the characters that Stan Lee created, which now, of course, Disney owns because of Disney owns Marvel. So it's possible that now it can go to the Supreme Court, but we'll see about that. So right now, Stan Lee Media actually has nothing to do with Stan Lee.
Yes. I know that.
Okay.
But Stanley Media is out. They're ambulance chasers.
Yes, basically.
Mm-hmm. They're basically ambulance chasers. So they're out trying to snag, hey, we own Spider-Man.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And so I guess the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Which I don't know anything about.
Oh, it's very important.
Very important.
They have quashed the case and dismissed it. So they can't – that case is dead. Mm. But apparently they have another case in the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Nice.
And so that case may still go to the Supreme Court. Hmm. And from what I – listen, I'm a guy in the know. I'm in the industry and I have a lot of emails. Apparently if – what's the name of the company again?
Stanley Media.
Stanley Media. If they don't do well here, they might very well go to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
I've heard about that. Yeah. That's a dicey one.
Yeah, that is the dreaded 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
11th Court
you don't want to go there.
That's a full contact court from what I understand.
That is.
Yeah.
That is.
That's right.
I believe Judge Judy presides at the 11th Court of Appeals. And that can get nasty.
So is Stanley Media trying to get all the stuff that Stanley created when he was with Marvel, or just after he left?
No, Marvel? When he was with Marvel, I think
everything. I think they want everything. Mm. So everything from when he created like Stripperella to Ravage 2099 to Spider-Man.
Well, the best part, the last line, and is the last line in the report, the media report, is Stanley Media has nothing to do with Stan Lee. Its sole business, all unsuccessful, is litigation over intellectual property rights.
Yeah, I think.
See, there's a good video. You know, you and I, we're barking up the wrong tree.
We are.
Here we are entertaining the troops.
Well, that's true.
You know.
Well, some one person. Anyways.
Well, yeah. And we should be litigating.
Yeah, it's where the money's at.
That is where the money's at. That's true.
We can introduce you to some people we know.
Oh, nice. I think
it's
Stanley
networking here.
I think Stanley Media started out trying to do, like, I think there was a time period like about 10 years ago where they thought internet comics was going to be the next big thing.
Mm.
And so Stanley was sort of involved in helping to create internet comics, and then that completely tanked cuz nobody wanted to, you know, pay for internet comics. Back then, anyways, that's a different story now. But anyways,
I am glad that Stanley Media got shot down.
I agree.
By the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I agree.
On a mythic level, I kind of like it, though. On the idea that you're like, Stan Lee was involved with this thing, he gave birth to the monster, he like pet Frankenstein, and then Frankenstein turned to bite him and tried to steal all of his possessions.
Yeah, you know what though? Yeah. Then you open up the whole Jack Kirby can of worms. You don't even want to go there.
That's true.
And then it gets nasty. Then the Kirby monsters come out.
That's true. Fin Fang Foom and Groot and
Grom
and Mogu and
Moogoo.
Dar. All right. Speaking of Walking Dead. Walking Dead had its best ratings ever
for the finale.
For the finale.
Now you are a Walking Dead fan.
I am.
You boys, do you guys watch The Walking Dead?
I flipped through some of the comics. I used to be a big fan of them, but I'm not so. Oh, sorry, huge fan of the comics, but not. I haven't watched much of the TV show.
Right.
But I'm told there's a new spinoff coming out.
Did you watch the comic show?
I read the comics. I enjoyed the comics. The show was a little slow for me. I watched the first episode of the third season.
It was fantastic.
Okay. But I just, I never. Right. You know, this
so is
something.
Is that the only episode you watched?
Of the third season. Yes, it is.
So you didn't watch the first season.
I did watch the first season. Did you watch the second season?
Second season was a little slow.
It was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people say. Yeah. But, you know, that's just how series are. Like,
but
the first
couple of series, character building.
It was. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I mean, this is something I'll binge it in a couple of years. When it's done, it's definitely.
And that's what people do, right?
Yeah.
They watch a whole year's worth in, like, flipping a weekend or something stupid.
Well, you want to know that it ends well before you really get invested in it. You don't, like, have to spend 7 years of your life watching Lost only to have the rug pulled out of it from the last minute.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's stung by that. But what I find interesting, okay, you know, we all know that it started off as a Kirkman Image comic. Kind of quietly, kind of surprisingly becoming a hit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the back issue comic market being what it is, making number one.
That's right.
Very
expensive comic. You know, high grade comic can go, a high grade Walking Dead number one can go for $1,000.
Wow. Can it go for more than that?
Yeah.
It's like something absurd.
If you get graded 9.8 or something silly like that, whatever, 9.9 can go for $10,000. And then you get when they develop characters like Michonne. Her first appearance in the comic is a lot of money as well. So what I find interesting, and Chris watches the show and he enjoys the show, is I'm loving how this show is working on two levels in two media, kind of independently of each other in a way. Hear me out. Like from what I understand, the comic and the TV show they're parallel, but they're not the same.
That's wonderful that they're both working at
their own level.
You can't read the comic and then watch the show and expect that everything that happened in the comic to happen in the show.
Right.
It's gone its separate ways now. It's developed.
Which is kind of great, because if you like Walking Dead, you can read the comic and watch the show.
And still
you're
enjoy
double
it.
content rather than repeat content.
Of course, there's going to be people that are like purists of the comic who are like, well, that's not the way it happened, and I don't like the way this is going on. And I get that, you know, because I'm purist for other things, but you know what? It's gone on such a tangent that it's a lot of fun. It's not quite as dark as the comic, but as dark as it is as a show, it's actually not as dark as the comic is.
The comic is pretty bleak.
It's pretty brutal. I've known people that have stopped reading it because it's just too depressing.
Right.
That's actually kind of where I'm at, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's objectively well written comics. It is good, but like. It's painful to read.
It's like tuning into like this awful, you know, I don't know, anxiety ridden, depressing comic every week, and you're like, well, why am I is this supposed to be fantasy comics to get away from reality? I'm just diving into this horrible.
Cauldron of misery.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I think you find the catharsis of it after, like, if you read something awful and you, like, look around your life and you're like, oh, hey, it's not so bad.
I've known people that have read the comic and they've literally I've known people that have, like, you know, read a certain graphic novel and then thrown it out because, like, I can't handle it anymore. It's just too dark.
Wow.
So,
now,
it was a nice change for me. I mean, I was reading a whole bunch of this. It's nice to be surprised.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, the good news there is I think that people are identifying that this story is great, but the analysis of the way they're telling the story, storytelling through television and storytelling through comic books, they're approaching it differently, and they're making success because they're not trying to mimic one through the other media.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. All right, listen, Walking Dead set a season record for 15.8 million viewers on Sunday. Apparently season 5 premiere had 17 million viewers. Even The Talking Dead had 7.5 million people watching it, which I don't understand. You know, apparently it's doing something good.
The Talking Dead?
Talking Dead.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
Talking Dead.
All right,
listen, we got to talk about Free Comic Book Day before we run out of time here.
Yeah, so let me ask you guys a question. I heard a rumor.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I heard that Volume 2 is a Free Comic Book Day edition.
That is a rumor.
That is indeed a rumor.
Yes.
That said, though,
I can't go to my local comic book shop and get a free trade paperback.
A 216-page trade paperback?
No.
We were actually looking into doing a small little, like, Kablam-printed floppy to hand out Free Comic Book Day. And that's still something we're doing the numbers on.
Yeah.
But, like, if the math works out, if that's something we think would not, like, destroy us, that'd be fantastic.
So you guys believe in Free Comic Book Day as a concept?
Absolutely. Like, it can reach an audience
especially
that just...
Especially in the local level, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Wonderful.
Well...
Go ahead. Sorry. Now, on Free Comic Book Day, will you guys be going to your local comic book shop to participate?
Absolutely.
I go every year. I love Free Comic Book Day, especially down at Red Nails. Great guys there. It's packed. It's jam-packed.
Now, what does Red Nails do? Like, not to put the Red Nails on the spot, but they obviously put on a great Free Comic Book Day.
They do.
They you know, make their shop look great, and they have a lot of free comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And is the people that come into the store, are they, you know, what's the day like at Red Nails? Festive?
It is. I mean, it's – the crowd is fantastic. There's a lot of development in terms of condos in the area. So there's like a whole bunch of new crowd going there.
Right.
A lot of kids, which is – nice to see, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't see too many kids in comic stores, but on Free Comic Book Day, I see tons of them, which is fantastic. And, you know, it's just the vibe is so – I mean, it is like – it's shoulder to shoulder in there, right? And it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and I love it. And I love – even if I don't buy anything, I'll go there on a Wednesday, pick up my comics.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
that's – you touched on an important point, and people listening to the show that are maybe regulars at comic book shops that, you know, you know, it's all hard-earned money. Everybody makes their money, and they suffer for making their money.
Mm-hmm.
They commute. They put up with crap, and it's hard-earned money. If you're going into a local comic book shop and giving some of that hard-earned money for some entertainment that you'd like, the local comic book shop has to just show so much respect toward that. And so, you know, doubling back on Free Comic Book Day to participate in the day is more than enough for regular comic patrons, right? And like yourself going there, I'm sure they're appreciating the extra, you know, the extra person part of the festivities, and there shouldn't be a pressure on people to go to Free Comic Book Day to buy something.
No, they're never, not for me.
And I mean, they always have like great deals there. Like, I mean, I last year I picked up a whole bunch of Spirit Trades, fantastic Spirit Trades.
Nice.
I think for like $5, and it's like
we got them for $4 here.
Nice. Well, my usual place is a comic book lounge down on College Street in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, the great guys.
Like they often have a lot of Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's closing. I don't have to go to Free Comic Book Day. It's some other like strangers store.
I know, but they're you know what?
They're friendly, welcoming strangers.
You know, Kevin has about 18 jobs, so you know he's a busy guy. You know,
and Kevin is Kevin in Toronto. I don't know if there. I mean, there are so many great supporters of comics. The comic scene, but I would put Kevin right near the top of the list for all that he's done.
We have, in the back of both books, we have a special thanks just to him.
Right.
Because he was a huge help for us.
Yes.
He let us use some of the back room, like at the lounge.
He
gave us some space to work with. He like encouraged us to come in there, and he just gave us advice. It was great.
We love you, Kevin.
Nice.
Fantastic. Pardon?
Awesome. They said they love Kevin.
Oh, well, who doesn't?
Now, Walt, now, these guys are here. They're trying to peddle their book. Are you going to end up ordering about 4,000 or 5,000 copies for the store?
Chris, your mic's going in and out. Shecky, how's the connection on his mic? Because I'm not hearing it well.
I can't hear you guys. I don't know what's going on.
Shecky, I got him in my pocket. All right, so Free Comic Book Day. Where are you guys going to be on Free Comic Book Day? You're going to be at Red Nails.
Yeah, I will be always at Red Nails. I'd like to check out more stores, but I mean, I'm going to definitely go to Red Nails at Jane and Bloor.
Andrew, where are you going?
Probably Harry Tarantula, because I'm a big tabletop nerd. I'm a big like Dungeons & Dragons guy, and they have a fantastic selection of that stuff.
Right. So now, okay, so if anybody, in all seriousness, when people want to buy Toronto Comics, they can go to Toronto Comics with an X, that's comix.com.
T-O-C-O-M-I-X.
T-O-C-O-M-I-X.
No, T-O-M-I-X.
T-O-C-O-M-I-X.
T-O-C-O?
It is also TorontoComicsAnthology.com.
Right.
There you go.
Just in case that's getting confused.
All right. Google. So they can go there and buy it?
Yes.
Or they can go to one of those participating stores in Toronto.
Or
TCAF.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right, guys. We wish you the best of luck with the project. It's a great project. We are looking for the Hamilton edition, so you guys start working on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Steel City Comics.
Chris, is that – do we have more time? Or?
You know what? That is all the time that we have for today, unfortunately.
The time flies when we talk comics.
Talk comics – It's
you know what? If you noticed too, how time flew, the Shecky wasn't on a mic.
It really, you know, it went faster. It went faster this week.
Yeah, it's smoother too for some reason. Right?
Yeah.
But the music.
dense information that you guys can't handle.
Dense information.
Can't handle the truth.
Something dense about that phrase. Listen, anyways.
Listen, comic culture is today was produced and engineered by the legendary Shecky Feldstein.
Legendary.
You're welcome.
We are always on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. We're at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia. Go out and support your local comic book shop.
And thank you very much to Andrew and Nelson for coming on the show. Hope you guys had a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. We had an awesome time.
No problem. And please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
Ooh.